please, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and find your way to verse 4. I'll be spending a time in the scripture this morning where we will look at the subject I've entitled for my sermon, Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. Here's why. Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. Here's why. So last week we returned to the Gospel of John, and in particular we entered into a passage of scripture which stretches from actually chapter 13 all the way through to chapter 16. And within those chapters, in the time that we get to spend here in the Gospel of John over the next weeks and months, we're going to encounter 11 comforting promises given to Jesus Christ's left behind disciples. Jesus Christ gives these 11 comforting promises because they are, his disciples in the upper room are truly troubled. They are troubled. He's just told them he's going away and they can't follow. But they will follow later. He goes on to comfort them with another promise. I'm going away, but I will come again and I'll fetch you. And then he comforts him with a third promise, which is what we began to look at last week and which we're going to continue this weekend. Jesus Christ gives to his soon-to-be left-behind disciples 2,000-odd years ago in that upper room, and by extension, we who are his disciples today, he gives to those disciples and we today another third comforting promise to we who function on the earth as his left-behind disciples. Jesus Christ gives these comforting promises to his disciples because those in the upper room 2,000 years ago are in a panic. They're in a panic because Jesus Christ, in his person, in his physical presence, which they had enjoyed for the past 3 years, he's just told them he's going away. And he's told them in his absence, in response to their anxiety, how do we make sure that we're still right with God if you're not here? He comforts them with this truth. Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going away. And you know the way to where I'm going. It's heaven. And you know the way because you know me, and I am the way. Look at John chapter 14. You're in verse 4. Just cast your eye back to verse 3. Let me read for verse 3 through to verse 6 for us. John chapter 14, verse 3 through verse 6. If I go, says Jesus Christ to his disciples in that upper room 2,000-odd years ago, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It works like this. Having told his soon-to-be left-behind disciples who were going to be left behind to carry on and do his work, just as we are today, Jesus Christ in verses 4 through 11 of chapter 14, he gives to us four reasons we're going to see today. Four reasons why Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation, for the forgiveness of sin, for the deliverance from the penalty and ruin of our sin, and for eternal fellowship with the great God of heaven and earth, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our loving, eternal Savior. Now, it's essential for us to grasp, we who are living today, it's essential for us to grasp that Jesus Christ's left-behind disciples, we are them. Just as those disciples were 2,000 years ago, you and I, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we have been left behind. We have been entrusted to do the work which is in his name, from his word, in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and we are to do it faithfully declaring of first importance that for salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the deliverance from the penalty and ruin of sin, for the restoration of the eternal sweet fellowship which God originally created us for, that is only possible by faith believing in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And why? Because I am the way, says Jesus Christ, and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me. Now, as I shared for us last week, sadly, we're living in a day where many are believing and teaching, I might add, in the so-called Church of Jesus Christ, there are many ways to know God and get to heaven. And that's why I need to share with us from our text this morning, as well as what Jesus has already said in earlier passages of Scripture, four reasons Jesus gives you and I, and is soon to be left behind disciples 2,000 years ago, that he is the only way for salvation. Four reasons that are so important for us to grasp, because we are also his left behind disciples, left to carry on the work he's entrusted to us. Knowing these four reasons, folks, is going to be a great comfort to you and I as we go about the work of proclaiming Christ to all whom he will set us down alongside. And it begins with proclaiming Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father through him. Now, last week I showed that that was a truth because Jesus Christ is the one and only revelation of the Father. Look with me at verse 6 and 7 just quickly. John chapter 14. Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Why? How can that be, Jesus? You've seen me. I'm not going to go over that sermon again, but just to refresh our minds and to set the context as we introduce ourselves into the next three reasons, I need to just remind us, Jesus Christ is the only way to know God, because he is God. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the Father, because Jesus Christ is God sent God to be the Savior of mankind. To know Muhammad is not to know the Father. To know Buddha is not to know the Father. To know Confucius is not to know the Father. To know your favorite Hindu Brahmin bull is not to know the Father. To know your ancestor and worship ancestor is not to know the Father. To create your own privatized spirituality where you sit in a corner in the Tokai forest and go, hum, and sing Kumbaya, my Lord. Folks, that is not to know the Father. To know Jesus Christ of the Bible is to know the Father, because he's already said that to his disciples and to the Jews way back in John chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus Christ, God eternal, God equal, says to those Jews gathered around him, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he, that would be me, Jesus Christ, he has explained him. Jesus Christ alone is that divine bridge that takes you all the way to the divine Father. Not your favorite Brahmin bull. That is why Jesus Christ says to his left behind disciples some 2,000 years ago, and we today, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so the first reason you and I must know is that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation, because Jesus Christ is the one and only revelation of the Father. Now, Jesus Christ gives his soon-to-be left-behind disciples another reason, and this is my second, if you want, for today. The first reason was Jesus Christ is the only way of knowing God, because Jesus Christ is the only revelation of God, and he is God. But Jesus Christ is also the only one spokesman of the Father. Look at verse 10 and 11 of John chapter 14. He's the one and only spokesman of the Father. John chapter 14, verse 10. Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. In as many words, Jesus says, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Here's what that means. The words of the Father are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only one person who infallibly speaks the words of God the Father. And he does so infallibly because he is God. Jesus Christ is always going to be the one and only ultimate sermon of God. Keep your finger here. Turn with me, please. You've got to remind ourselves about this. Come with me to John chapter 1. Keep your finger in John chapter 14. We're coming back here. But John chapter 1, look at the very first three verses of John chapter 1. This is Jesus Christ, God's ultimate, perfect sermon of God. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God eternal, God equal, yet God distinct in the person of Jesus Christ is what that verse says, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God from eternity past, and the Word was God, God equal, God eternal, God equal. In the beginning, verse 2, he was in the beginning with God, God eternal. All things, verse 3, came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Now look at verse 14. Just cast your eye down to verse 14, John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh, God equal, God eternal, yet God distinct in the second person of the triune Godhead. The person, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us because of his virgin birth, the incarnation. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's why I say Jesus Christ is God's ultimate sermon. And remember, this isn't something new that he's taught his disciples. Make your way to John chapter 5. I just need to show us this in verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus has already taught them, his disciples, that he is the one and only spokesman of God because he is God. John 5, 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Come with me to John chapter 14 again, verse 10. Because here's the thing, and this applies to everyone, every living person, those living 2,000 years ago and every single living person today. Here it is. You are believing in God the Father by believing in Jesus Christ and in what Jesus Christ says. You are believing in God because of Jesus Christ, who is God. How are you saved? How am I saved? Not by believing all roads and ways lead to God, or by believing all religions lead to God, or by believing, well, God doesn't care what you believe, just so long as you're sincere in what you believe. You are saved by hearing the words of Jesus Christ. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. You are saved, I am saved, by hearing Jesus Christ's words, because he is the one spokesman of the Father. And here's the thing. You will not hear the words of Christ in any other religion besides genuine Christianity. Think of it this way. Creation shouts about God, but creation will not save you from the penalty and ruin of your sin. Your conscience is a God-given gift, as is expounded in Romans chapter 1, convicting even the non-believer in Jesus Christ, the pagan, the atheist, of right and wrong. Paul said to the Romans in Romans 2:14, when the Gentiles, in other words, unbelievers who do not have the law, they don't have the law of Moses, when they do instinctively the things of the law, don't steal, don't lie, not having the law, they are a law to themselves, says God in Romans 2:14. That's conscience. And even knowing right from wrong with your conscience doesn't save you. Oh, God uses God the Holy Spirit in his sovereign will to prick your conscience. Flee to the cross. He did that to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He did that to my heart in 1988. He's done that to your heart if you know him as your Savior. Your conscience was used sovereignly by God to draw you to the foot of the cross with bonds and cords of love. And he gave you grace, his help, his unmerited favor, to embrace the truth that God the Holy Spirit was impacting your unregenerate heart with, so that you would believe and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. To be saved, you have to hear Jesus. The only words of Jesus, God's one and only spokesman, will save you. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. So Jesus says to his left behind disciples 2,000 years ago, and you and I today, as you wait for me to come back, hear my words. Because not only can you be saved by me, but you can know you are saved by me because of my words. Why? How can that be? Because my words are God's words, the promises of God, and you can know that because I am God, sent God, your loving Savior. Jesus Christ's words, as I have said, They're not found in any other religion. They're only found on the lips of Jesus Christ. God sent God, the one and only spokesman of the Father. So, Jesus Christ is the one and only way for salvation. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one and only revelation of the Father, and He's the one and only spokesman of the Father. Let me deal with our second today, which is actually our third, given that I had to bring this sermon into two Sundays. But Jesus Christ, here's another reason why He's the only way for the forgiveness of sin. He is the one and only substitute of the Father for sin. Okay, now here's where we're going to jump around in the Bible a little bit more. So again, I'm going to ask, keep your finger in John chapter 14, but come back with me to John chapter 1 and verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Jesus Christ is the one and only substitute of the Father for sin, which is why He's the only way, the truth, and the life to be right with God. John 1:21. The next day, he, that would be John the Baptizer, saw Jesus coming to him, John the Baptist, standing in the water, waiting to baptize repentant sinners. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, he's talking to his disciples. John the Baptizer had some disciples of his own. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does that teach us? Jesus Christ is the one and only way for salvation because Jesus Christ is the one and only substitute of the Father for the forgiveness of sin. In the Old Testament, folks, yes, it's true. God temporarily approved the sacrifices of heifers, of bulls, of lambs, of goats, as the nation of Israel, and for that matter, the whole of mankind, awaited the promise of God that at His appointed time, as He promised way back at the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, at His appointed time, He would send His only begotten Son, the Savior of mankind. God sent God, God's perfect Lamb, for the forgiveness of sin through that one and only, once for all, wrath-satisfying, substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. Behold, the Lamb of God. Like I said when I covered that passage way back, a couple of years back now, when we first began our time and sojourn through the Gospel of John, I made sure I pointed out to us that John the Baptizer is a prophet. But what stands him apart from the other prophets of the Old Testament is that all the other prophets said, get ready, he's coming. John the Baptizer is the only one who says, get ready, he's here, and there he is, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So yes, God approved the temporary, God-given sacrifices of animals, but they were simply a picture, simply a foreshadow of the one and only true Lamb of God, for the one and only sacrifice, once and for all, the life of Jesus Christ, God sent God, God eternal, God equal, and God distinct in the second person of the triune Godhead, the innocence of Jesus Christ living the one and only perfect life is the only sacrifice accepted by God for the forgiveness of sin, for the reconciliation of the sinner into a restored relationship with God Himself, not just for a day, but for eternity. And please, folks, I have to I have to say this. We have to see this. There are only two options that are open before any single living person today. Option one, either you die for your sins, for that's what will happen, the wages of sin is death, or you believe that Jesus Christ died the death that you ought to die through his one and only wrath-satisfying substitutionary sacrifice, and you call on him. And remember, to call upon him isn't, "Oh, Jesus, save me." Oh, that has a lot to do with it. But calling upon Jesus Christ is, you believe in everything he has said about himself, about what he has done, is doing, will yet do. You believe in everything that Jesus Christ has said about who you are, about who I am, a dirty, rotten sinner whom he, for unfathomable reasons and love, loves us and doesn't want us to perish, but wants us to come to everlasting life. So, two options. Either you get prepared to die for your sins, or, second option, believe in God that he's already paid for your sins. He's asking you, believe him by faith today, now, if you haven't. The key to be right with God is through God, not through your Brahmin bull or Confucius's sayings, or singing Kumbaya in Tokai Forest. The way to be right with God is through Jesus Christ. He is the key to the new life, free from the penalty and ruin of your sin. Jesus Christ is the one and only substitute of the Father for the forgiveness of sin. It's why Paul reminded Timothy, when you enter into this ministry and you're in Ephesus now and people are going to not want to hear the truth, you have to remember and proclaim there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, God eternal, God equal, yet God distinct in the person of Jesus Christ. The only way to have eternal life is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. God's word couldn't be plainer, folks. So, Jesus Christ is the one and only way for salvation. Because Jesus Christ is the one and only revelation of the Father, and because Jesus Christ is the one and only spokesman of the Father, and because Jesus Christ is the one and only substitute of the Father for the forgiveness of sin. Let me share with you our closing reason. Jesus Christ is the one and only way for salvation. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one and only object of Father for faith. Let me explain that. Come with me to a well-known passage of Scripture. John 3, verse 16 and verse 17. Now remember, I'm giving you our last reason for this morning as to why Jesus Christ is the one and only way for salvation. And I've said, here's the closing reason. Jesus Christ is the one and only object of the Father for faith. Okay? Let me explain. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Folks, can I share a personal testimony? I have learned much from the godly men whom the Lord has set into my life. And as I began preparing for ministry, and as I entered into and continued in this ministry for the Lord, one treasure that I have learned from one of my mentors, Pastor Mark Christopher, when I was in my undergraduate studies under his teaching in CMI, and also from Joel James, when Pastor Mark encouraged me to do the sermon preparation series and teachings of Joel James, I learned something that's a great treasure, and I want to share it with you today. And it's this: the meaning of a passage of Scripture rests largely in the verbs of the sentence. That's why I look at the verbs. It helps me strip away and get to that original meaning. But the theology of a passage of Scripture rests largely in the propositions in the sentence. Let me show us. God has always intended that our one object of faith is in the person of Jesus Christ, with a personal, conscious faith in Jesus Christ and his work of salvation on the cross. John 3:16 clearly sets that out. The object of our faith is none other than Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's verbs in that one. But here's the proposition: that whoever believes in him shall not perish. You see, the proposition in that sentence is the word in. You can believe in your bedroom door for salvation, because you can close it and shut out mom and dad. But you will not have salvation by believing in your bedroom door handle. The object of your faith, which God holds before every single living person, is this: believe, proposition, in Jesus Christ, not your door handle. Folks, just think of it this way. Why is Christianity so unique? True Christianity. No other faith cherishes Jesus Christ and belief in him and belief in his finished work of salvation. For example, it breaks my heart. Even today, there are God-fearing, yet God horribly... Okay, let me say that again. There are God-fearing Jews in Israel who truly believe that their salvation rests in keeping the Mosaic law. Yet God says, no, no. The law was given as a schoolmaster to tell you and teach you the object of your faith is in the Messiah, and not any Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, Judaism believes in the law for salvation. Yet the object of their faith should be and can only be for salvation in Jesus Christ. Judaism has rejected Jesus Christ. Only biblical Christianity cherishes belief in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, what is it that saves you from the penalty and ruin of your sin? Sincere belief in anything? No. God's plan for your salvation, my salvation, is that we have an objective, personal, conscious belief in Jesus Christ. The Christ of the Bible, I might add. God sent God, God's perfect Lamb for salvation, God's perfect way for the deliverance from the penalty and ruin of our sin and from the eternal and just wrath of God. What moves you, what moves me from judgment to salvation? What moves us from condemnation to forgiveness? John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in, there's that proposition again, there's the theology. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 8:24, from the very lips of Jesus Christ, God's best spokesman, God's one and only spokesman. Verse 24 of John chapter 8, therefore I, Jesus Christ, said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, there's the object faith of your belief, you will die in your sins. Saving faith from the penalty and ruin of our sin is through God the Father, through God the Son, through the empowering and enabling work of conviction of sin through God the Holy Spirit. False gods, need not apply, because only one God can get you to God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus Christ's promising, comforting promise to his disciples some 2,000 years ago and us today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, let me conclude this way. We've been reminded that Jesus Christ is the one and only way of salvation. Why? Because he's the one and only revelation of the Father. Because he is the one and only spokesman of the Father. Because he is the one and only substitute of God the Father for sin. And because he's the one and only object of faith of the Father for faith. You come to God through God for the forgiveness of sin. You come to God seeking his love, seeking his favor, seeking his fellowship through God. So as you and I wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, as we function as his left behind disciples to continue the work in his name, from his word, and in the power of God the Holy Spirit, then I beg of you, join with one another as this local body of believers in Christ, this pillar of truth in this corner of God's vineyard, and let us go forth and proclaim today and every day apportioned us in the sovereignty of God, that the words of Jesus Christ, God's one and only spokesman, is the way to be right with God. So, here's some of the words of Jesus Christ, eternally given in his word. Romans 10:9 through verse 17. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, abounding in riches to all who will call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? How will they believe in him whom they've not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Well, here it is. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Go forth today, and every day apportioned you in the sovereignty of God, and faithfully proclaim, Jesus Christ is the one and only way for salvation. Because why? He said it. We need to repeat it. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time given us this morning to once again come and be encouraged. Because, Lord, we are in a day where people don't want to hear truth. And we sometimes feel we're at our wit's end. We don't know how to proceed. So we run to conceived plans and procedures which we believe will get us what we need. But, Lord, it's not what we need. It's what you desire. You desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and everlasting life. For we who have already been brought to that wonderful privilege of being your son and your daughter, in whom you remember our sin no more, and upon whose heart you have written your word, help us to now faithfully go forth and to proclaim none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, the object of our faith, and to testify of no other words than the words of Jesus Christ, which have life eternal, the forgiveness of sin, because of promises given by God who does not lie, and achieved and completed as promised through the one and only sacrifice for all, Jesus Christ's wrath-satisfying substitutionary sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin. So, Lord, we now wait for you. And as we wait for you, we surrender all. And we ask humbly, use us now as you so choose, as a vessel, an instrument of righteousness, of care, and of comfort to whomsoever you will be pleased to set us down alongside. And we pray this only for your glory, only for your honor, only for your exaltation and the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.